Station.
It's a very good afternoon, good evening, Sanbonani, Tumilangapsheni, Moloni, bonjour, from Cape to Cairo, New Zealand, Abu Dhabi, wherever you are streaming us, welcome to Mjolo and Sex Podcast. Here speaking is your boy Mlungisi Impela, the most handsome 31-year-old for the last time, 31, the very last time. The next time I'm going to say this, there's going to be another number next to that. Muhammad Ali's protege, roll like a butterfly, buzz more than a beehive. I don't buzz alone. Even in 2022, I buzz with ever beautiful, ever shining, ever glowing. There are too many adjectives. So little time to go through them. Oskhumi, hi.
Hi, Mlu. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm good.
Staring.
Looking forward to 32, I see.
Lalela. Listen. Yo, but you know what? Something in the back of my mind. Somebody, my friend of mine said, hey, but Mlu, you know, you are getting old. I'm like, don't say that. Well, I rebuke, I refuse, fire.
Why? But it's inevitable. You can't stop it. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it.
No. I was just being difficult. I don't count age, right?
And with age comes wisdom.
Yeah, I don't count age. It's just you can just feel when you engage in certain activities, when you are trying to, then you start realizing, yo, the recovery is not as.
Oh, no. With age comes great wisdom and even greater sex.
Yeah, I love it. I tell you what, I'm also definitely looking forward to is people interacting and engaging with us on our social media platforms. Today we are really going to be self catering with this topic. What are we talking about today?
You know, I think we all know relationships are hard.
Yeah,
no, Mjolo,
yeah.
And so sometimes you find that you have to cater to your own needs.
Thank
because you can't find somebody else to
matters into
your own hands.
Literally. Yes.
But now what people don't realize is that any activity that you might engage in, masturbation is also addictive.
Yep.
There are people who are addicted to masturbation.
Yeah.
They can do it 100 times a day, mm-hmm. anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah.
Literally everywhere they go, you know, they just look for a quiet spot, nyana, rub one out, and then a big grand.
Yes.
You know, but it's addictive.
Huh?
You know, and that's what we're going to be talking about today, addiction to masturbation.
Yeah, if you subscribe to DSTV, they'll tell you about the self-service.
Yeah.
Part of their package, and we're talking about something similar as far as sex is concerned, masturbation, taking matters into your own hands. We're going to be unpacking the addiction part of it. There's a two-part series that we're going to be doing. Part one, we're going to be talking right now to our resident psychologist, who's going to help us to unpack what happens in the mind as far as masturbation is concerned, and then later on, we're definitely going to be talking to our sexologist, who's going to be telling us some of the sexual repercussions or the sexual context in terms of masturbation. A lot is often said about the benefits that come with it. Excuse the pun again. but also anything that you, like you say, everything that you do repetitively.
It becomes addictive.
It becomes addictive. And yeah. Obviously there is some sort of ramifications. As far as that is concerned, a person who's going to help us take this matter into his own hands, not into our own hands, into his own hands, is our resident psychologist, JP Mueller. JP Mueller, welcome to the Joel and Sex Podcast.
Thank you so much, Nuhumi. How are you?
We're good. How are you, JP?
Very well, thank you.
JP, we're talking about something that can get a bit out of hand here.
mm-hmm.
Blue, today, relax. We're talking masturbation. JP, let's just quickly 101. What is masturbation?
Yeah. You guys spoke about masturbation before, and it is natural and it's a healthy activity It has several health benefits to you. It can relieve stress, it helps you to sleep, it promotes a positive mood, and it helps you to learn more about your sexual responses and needs. So masturbation can be a great thing. It is, as you say, to relieve your own sexual tension by helping yourself by hand. So a guy will masturbate, and then a lady can also masturbate. So the what constitutes normal masturbation behavior differs for each individual. So some people masturbate every day and others not at all. So Dr. Daniel's blog says that masturbation addiction refers to the excessive or compulsive masturbation. While it's not a diagnosable mental health, so in our DSM we don't have a name as masturbation addiction, but it can have a significant impact on your daily function, as you guys said. And for those who have sexual behavior, is out of control. Masturbation falls under the larger umbrella, and that is what we diagnose as sexual addiction. And this category includes compulsive sexual behavior, out of control sexual behavior, and then also sex addiction, masturbation addiction, and as we spoke before, porn addiction, that most of the time is linked to hypersexuality disorder, and that is a disorder that we diagnose. And then it makes some people feel, on the bad side, as you say, it makes some people feel guilty. It leads to the lower sexual satisfaction and sensitivity, lack of impulse control, overstimulation, and then sexual dysfunction. And that's the thing. The real sex then with your partner doesn't become as nice, as intense, and as satisfying anymore, because then you see your partner as an object because of your self-satisfaction the whole time, that you desensitize the pleasure that you get from it.
JP, how I'm glad you went there, right? Because sex addiction, right, to a large extent, disengages one from reality, right? Yeah. So because if you are watching a lot of porn, and pornography is how you get stimulated and how you release, the expectancy is then what you watch is exactly what you're going to then expect from your partner, right? So what happens in the in the human brain for that disconnect? Because then what you then find out is that you cannot get aroused from your partner, but you can rather than get aroused from pornography. What happens psychologically as far as that is concerned, JP?
Yeah, definitely. So the causes of masturbation, then as a dysfunctional addiction, then is underlying depression or anxiety that you manage by using masturbation to lift your mood, to relax, or to reduce stress. So an inclination towards addiction because of your neurobiology. So one study showed that people with a compulsive sexual behavior showed greater connection between certain brain structures. So the brain is structured in a similar way than those people who involve rewarding the brain with drugs. So this then links to the same symptoms as somebody with a clinical disorder. The imbalance in the natural brain chemicals, changes in the brain pathways, and then also conditions that affect the brain. So for some people who are morally and religious oppose masturbation, for them, if they do it once, it actually brings on shame and self-esteem. And again, that is also bad for the brain. And then people with a history of physical and sexual abuse, they are more prone to this. And then also emotional pain caused by life circumstances, then it pushes people away from wanting that connection with a person. And then they just become addicted to sexual behaviors because it, then they see it just as an object, as we said before, and not as a person.
JP, tell me, is it advisable to disclose to your partner that you might be addicted to masturbating? And if so, how soon in the relationship should you disclose such information?
Sure.
You know, do you tell them on the first date, listen here, you know, I like to play with myself every now and then? Or, you know, do you wait until you've perhaps gotten to know this person a bit better?
So for me, I want to be as open and as honest as I can be in my relationship with the good stuff and the bad stuff that comes to me. I see these days people call it red flags. You know, and I want the person, my partner, to know all of my flags, right? The green and the red ones and the orange ones too,
yeah.
But the thing is just, the sooner you get treatment, the better. And it will be nice if your partner knows, because they can support you through this. If you relapse, if you, and I mean, some of the things talk therapy really helps. And I can tell you what your therapist will ask you as well. You can even do medication that is for depression and OCD symptoms. But it's good to keep busy, you know, engage in activities. So do yoga, running, meditation, and that can be great with your support group, with your partner, with a support group that also goes to the same things, you know. And then also you must be more personal, present in your current relationship. So plan things, outings with people so that you avoid being alone and having that boredom time so that you fall back on the triggers or whatever leads you to that. Because if you have a masturbation addiction, you will even do it even if you're not horny. You will still go and masturbate. And sometimes even in the wrong places. Sometimes like even in the restrooms of a mall or whatever. And that's the problem. If you masturbate to cope with negative emotions, when you find your feelings of being guilty after you masturbated, when you find yourself thinking about it often, when you cancel meetings, when you go to public places that's uncomfortable places but you need to do it, when you don't feel aroused but you do it, when you feel negative emotions and you want to get it out, when you feel guilty, distressed, and when you masturbate even if you don't want to, then you know this is an addiction. And I would definitely share it with someone. When in your relationship, depends on the relationship from person to person. Because the thing is, you can then maybe choose masturbation over going home to be with your partner. You know, because you're avoiding them, because you feel guilty about it, and because you want to masturbate rather than to sit and have a conversation with them or to eat with them or whatever. And that is the thing. Then your relationship can suffer because of it. So, and your work life and your personal life, and that is why it's better to disclose so that you can get the correct support to get you through this.
Okay. JP, I mean, before we conclude, how, what you talked about flags. So what are the red flags, JP? So when is it an addiction? I think you touched on it briefly when you said when it's done excessively. There are people who have a healthy sort of sexual appetite and who happen to be single and who cannot
get some.
So they will rather than self-service. So when do we know when is it a red flag and what do we need to look out for to know that it's a red flag?
Okay, so definitely when it starts impacting your daily living, your work, and your relationships with your friends and family and partners. But also, as I said from the start, if you do it once a week and it's a feeling for you that you don't like, it makes you feel bad and less worthy, and then it's an addiction for you, so then you have to stop it. But if it impacts you in a negative way, then it's bad for you. But your therapist might ask you things, for example, like your feelings and behavior around masturbation, whether you engage in other compulsive sexual behaviors like partner sex or porn use, problems caused by your compulsive masturbation, is it past traumas, your current stresses, what's making you stressed, and then things that can help you to engage in sports, explore creative talents like art and writing, taking morning jogs, avoid solitude, interacting with people, removing pornography, and seeking counseling services. And those things can help, but now, as the stats say, we couldn't do stats with people younger than 18, right? Mm. But 57% of younger millennials, that's between 18 and 24 years old, masturbate weekly. And they all seem to be most likely to do it the most, okay? But they also say gay and bisexual individuals are 20% more likely to masturbate weekly than heterosexual individuals. And then the average age in which people started masturbating varies from about 15 years, 2 months to 15 years, 8 months. But they say about 20% of men reported masturbating 2 or 3 times a week and less than 20% more than 4 times a week, where women reported masturbating once a week or less. So for me, an addiction is not merely the intense feeling or urge to do something you enjoy, but it's a complex brain condition characterized by the inability to stop using a substance or to engage in this behavior in this case, despite the negative consequences that it causes. And yes, masturbation makes you feel good. It does release those hormones, and that is why it is addictive. It makes you feel better. It makes you feel relaxed. It makes you sleep better. But literally, the same brain changes observed in people with clinical addiction. And that is quite stressing for me. So it can still cause the stress, feeling of shame, social relationship issues. And as soon as it impacts your life, and then you have to do something about it to get that out of the way, to conquer this challenge. It's only a challenge. It can be conquered.
JP, thank you so much for that. I think it's very important, and I think we're looking forward to the second part of the conversation where we're going to be talking to Dr. Zender, and we're going to be exploring now the physical ramifications of masturbation, because it does, you know, it does then affect you spoke a lot about the psychological. There are physical implications to that as well. But once again, JP, a big thank you for your time and for really helping many people take the matters out of their own hands and really sort of taking those matters into serious helping hands, so that relationships can really be a good space. And I think, JP, you touched on it as we conclude. That stats you looked at said, Khumi, these millennials are not having enough sex.
Is it?
I mean, these young kids. Yeah. If the stats is what those stats, if JP is referring to, they talk to that. These young kids are having lesser and lesser of sex. So that is why self-service.
And a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of it. So.
But self-service is safe. Just saying,
yeah,
it's
it
safe
is.
And it doesn't cause kids. So it is safe, and it's better for when you are not in a relationship, until you are ready and stable and to create a family and to settle down and to get that person.
Can I plead the fifth on that one?
Wow.
JP, a big thank you for your time. And hope to chat soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, JP.
Thank you, JP.
Have a great day.
You too. Oskumi, I think we joke about it, we pun about it, but it's serious, guys. We need to make sure that masturbation is it's innocent and almost until proven guilty, but it's innocent up until it gets a bit out of hand.
Yeah, that's true.
When it starts now affecting the actual relationship that you're in, you know, I can almost forgive. You know, people who are single, I can almost forgive, but when it starts now becoming a problem with your environment. I don't know how many, if you go on our website, I don't know how many times we've done articles about people or who are masturbating while watching porn at work. We've done numerous of those.
Imagine.
So when it becomes to that level, when it gets to that level,
I mean, just rubbing one out at work,
it becomes very, very problematic.
I think for a lot of people, the reason, I think maybe one of the reasons they end up getting addicted is because you've been single for such a long time and you've been, you know, playing with yourself for such a long time that when you do eventually get into a relationship, it's like you almost don't know how to stop.
Exactly.
You know, your brain is wired, you know, in that way. Or I can't explain it. Yeah, the words are...
No, you're right.
Yeah, you know, and now you don't know how to draw the line to say, okay, now I'll only do it, you know, when my partner when my partner's not around or whatever, you know. But rubbing one out at work, that's just...
It's nasty.
Ew.
It's nasty. And guys, it's important, guys.
I like people who do it on the train.
Public toilets.
Like.
Church.
There are people around you.
Church. Wherever. You know.
No. That is so uncouth.
So guys, when it gets to that point, it's a red flag.
No, that is so uncouth. Yeah, you know, like you're just sitting with your friends and you go to the bathroom and rub one out. Like, no. Yeah.
So it's problematic, and as I asked deliberately, because these people fail to engage. They when it comes to when they're now with their physical partner, not the one they've created, it becomes a an assignment and a half because they are so out of touch with now reality.
Yeah, and you know when I say no, I'm not saying like no as in stop it. It's blowing my mind.
Exactly.
You know that things have gone to that level where you now can't stop yourself.
Exactly.
You know, you're doing it anywhere and everywhere.
You're absent from your reality now.
You know,
right?
Like it blows my mind because let's be honest, we've all done it.
Yep.
We all do it.
Yep.
You know, but we all know that there is a place and time for it.
Exactly. And now, I mean, we were at the G-Spot last year. Even gadgets are becoming very, very sort of jewel in terms of if you're not with your partner.
Yeah, you can do it yourself.
You can do it. No, with
DIY.
Each other. Yeah, with each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think whilst we admit that, you know, releasing is important and it's safe, as JP was saying, but really, guys, watch the patterns. If the patterns now become abnormal and borderline dodge, I think it's time to get help, guys.
Basically, if you are in a public place and you feel the need,
regular
urge, or you have the urge to go rub one out, call somebody.
Please.
Yeah, call a friend.
Please, guys, please. And finally, as we conclude, guys, I really think, you know, if you've listened to all the episodes we've done thus far, I think it's safe to say that we are sexual human beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who love sex. Mm. And unless it's a self-esteem thing. Guys, man. Guys, you are aware? Some people, and I'm going to say it because it's legal, some people can buy this thing. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
So I understand there's safety. It's safer, yes. And if you do it once in a week and it's measurable and it's not spooks, it's fine. But when you're now with your partner and you failed, hence I'm saying, and it happens a lot. Hence why I keep hammering. It happens a lot. Now with your partner, you don't even get aroused.
But
put on a porn movie, you are.
Yeah.
You understand? It becomes problematic. And we cannot get to a point. We did a piece, I think, late on last year. If you go to www.dailysun.co.za/mjol, I think it's around November, mid-November. We talked about the rise of robots, sexual robots, right? And many, many other countries, Turkey, Japan, Germany, and all of them are producing those. There are people who are gravitating towards those. Mm-hmm. And I worry. And I worry because, guys, my mom says the Bible, if we subscribe to that, says we must populate and multiply. So how are we going to multiply?
Listen, I'm not hating on the robots, man. But I feel... And I understand people who become addicted to masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
I can get them on some level because relationships are a lot.
Tricky.
Relationships are a lot. And they're not just about sex. You know, there's the emotional aspect of it. And some people are just so emotionally drained and tired that they feel it's not worth it.
It's true.
You know, but like JP said, once you get to a point where now it's starting to interfere with your daily activities and just your daily life, you've got a problem.
You've got a problem.
You need to call a friend, you know. But I'm not hating on the sex robot.
No, I don't. I also, you know, as we conclude, I understand. We spoke about the size matter. So there are those complexities, right? And sex is an esteem exercise. To get naked is a whole pluck and a half.
Oh my word, tell me about it.
It's a pluck and a half.
Tell me about it.
Because you become...
And especially in this heat.
You understand?
God.
No, even in the coldest, right? You are vulnerable. It takes so much.
And it's understandable. You want to take matters into your own hands, but just be careful that you do it in moderation.
Yes, please.
Everything in moderation.
Everything, guys. Everything. Yeah. We talk about drink responsibly. We talk about all these things responsibly.
Watch what you eat.
Watch what you eat responsibly. The same thing needs to apply.
Yeah.
Same thing needs to apply. I tell you what you can do, whether self-service or not, as many times as you want to, is you can really visit our social media platforms and be engaging with us. So, Skrumi?
We are still on Facebook.
Yup.
Daily Sun SA.
Yup.
You can still tweet us.
Uh-huh.
At Daily Sun SA.
Okay.
Or can find us on www.dailysun.co.za.
It's /Mjolo, and you can get to see this and many, many, many other of our podcasts. Once again, a big thank you to JP. Big thank you to you for listening and your time, and we really hope that you took in what you needed to take in. If you're going to take matters in your own hands, please make sure you do it in moderation, as we said. Another thing we definitely encourage you to take into your own hands is please make sure that you play safe. Condomize everybody. We are curbing the one pandemic. Please, we do not want to start the other. You know, HIV and AIDS still exist, everybody. Guys, it's important that we keep strapped. Oskumi?
Yeah, no, just stay safe out in the streets, y'all.
It's a belief, doch. Yeah, level one. We're also blessed that we do not have a curfew anymore. But it doesn't mean that, guys, you don't need to get yourself vaccinated. I think the last time we're sitting at just under 30 million people who vaccinated. A big shout out to everybody who has. And if that's not your thing, please make sure that you're sanitizing, you keep your masks on, socially distance yourself, everybody. The Omicron variant is still prevalent with us, and we really want to keep the way things are in our country. It's really nice. It's really nice to move about it.
Elena, December 3rd, like it rang melty.
Ah, it's hot, guys.
Drink water, stay hydrated. December 3rd, the birthday 3rd, in rang melty.
Yeah.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated, everybody. Stay hydrated and keep safe, guys. A little birdie told me, I don't know if I need to tell. Next week, the most handsome 31-year-old.
Wow.
It expires, so
self plug.
Yeah. So, ketaveketa a little soiree nyana, perhaps. I'm thinking I might just invite one of our listeners, but I'll look out on our social media platforms. We ketave really together, amalgamate, celebrate 32. Calendar says si valile, si vula. Oh, zini zintoge man, si vali calendar.
Self plug.
Si vula zonke zini zinto. But yeah, guys, a big thank you to you for listening. And if you see me in the streets and you hear this is for the last time, it's a boy in Blooming Simbella, the most handsome 31-year-old on the side of the equator, the most handsome guy in the cheese cop, Muhammad Ali's protege, roll like a butterfly, buzz more than a beehive.
And she's still on the CIV and still without a cool outro.
It's love and light, everybody.
Be kind to one another.
Shop.